is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. I'm going to be tapping people on the shoulder. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. He cares for me. He cares for me. He cares for me. He cares for me. He's so good to me. I praise his name. I praise his name. I praise his name. I praise his name. He's so good. More than I know. More than I know. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is our story. This is our story. This is our song. Praising our Savior all the day long. This is our story. This is our song. Praising our Savior all the day long. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. And you are good, Lord. We thank you for your kindness, and you are indeed kind. We thank you for your mindfulness of us, and indeed, Lord, you are mindful of us. The old song goes, your eye is on the sparrow, and we know that you watch over us. We thank you, Lord, that you used language that could not be mistaken to try to convey to us how mindful of us you are when you said, even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. And that was not hyperbole. You not only know us, you foreknew us. You knew us when we were being formed in the womb. So we thank you that we are never off your radar. And you're not just looking at us as a spectator. Your word says that you will rejoice over us to do us good. and that you are working all things, Lord, intentionally, marshaling all events, irrigating all activity, navigating with us our lives to our highest good and your purposes. So as someone said this morning in Sunday school, we don't have to worry unless we want to. So we bless you this morning, Lord, for the privilege of being able to rest. Open our eyes now as we look into your word together and as we enjoy this time that you've given us. We thank you for this day called Mother's Day. And we thank you for the opportunity to just say thank you and to celebrate and to salute the mothers among us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I have just a few words this morning, and then we're going to have a special care through prayer time where we're going to ask the moms to come up, and I'm going to have the elders of the church actually say a blessing for you and upon you. And then we have a special gift for you out in the hospitality area, a special hospitality service that the men have put together. And it's gorgeous. It's delicious. And if you don't eat it, we will. We bought all of our favorite foods just for you. So bon appetit. I'd like you to turn in your bulletin to the next to the last page, and I'd like to begin by reading the devotional that I wrote for this week's newsletter. The view from my place, it's right next to your sermon notes. There's high tech, and then there's the most high tech. The Lord is the most high tech because all things are possible with him, and nothing is too difficult for him. He has unlimited multifunctionality. The human body, which he created, is such a high-tech wonder that all human technology is merely trying to catch up and emulate its design. We've not been able to invent anything close to the human mind, and yet with all its magnificence, it cannot grasp the mysteries of the universe. We also live in a high-tech creation. What human invention can compare with the perfect, majestic design of the eagle or the relentless power of the ocean? We have models that can predict the weather, sort of, but we've not come close to being able to control it, which he does with a few words like peace, be still. It used to be much harder for people of faith to fathom how the Lord could be aware of all people at all times, that the very hairs of our head are all numbered. And then along came GPS technology. As human technology advances, we're getting the growing sense that all of our new inventions are bringing forth old technology that God has been using all along, only without needing any of the devices. Jesus' words, "All things are possible," seem more and more believable. And for those with open minds and hearts, technology does not diminish our need for God. It heightens our awareness of his greatness, and I would add our appreciation of his splendor and majesty. And of all of God's high-tech creations, moms are perhaps his most perfect ones, most amazing ones. The preacher was wired for sound with a lapel mic, corded lapel mic, And as he preached, he moved briskly about the platform, jerking the mic cord as he went. Then he moved from one side to the other, getting wound up in the cord and nearly tripping before jerking it again. After several circles and jerks, little girl leans over to her mom and she says, whispers in her ear, "If he gets loose, is he going to hurt us?" See, this is one of the joys of motherhood for which we salute you moms today. Because you field questions like this, dealing with these kinds of surprising queries and stuff like this every day in life. And even more complicated ones. Some of you moms are on Facebook, and I see your posts about what your little darlings have said and done that have been perplexing and special, and you have to deal with all of them. I pray for some of you, because some of your kids are, yeah, I mean, they are amazing little thinking devices. And moms have hands-on responsibilities right there with them. So for you moms dealing with all those conundrums thrown at you, we salute you. My wife, you know, when she was a kid, she would ask these penetrating spiritual questions to her mom. And they got so deep that her mom finally just said, "Honey, look, you know, I can't answer all those questions. You want me to set up an appointment with you for the pastor?" So for dealing with that, moms, we really do want to say we salute you for your patience. And for your creativity. During the first round of this year's NBA playoffs, I read this, and this was a sports connection, so I really got excited about this. Said, "Thank you, Jesus. Sports. Sports are spiritual. Sports are life. Any kind of thing you want to connect to life itself, you can find in some sport. I'm convinced of it." I would even go on to say that, you know, the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians, he talks about those who run in a race. He uses the Olympic Games as an analogy, but I won't go there. I have something else to say. During the first round of this year's NBA playoffs, Clippers coach Doc Rivers, his eyes welled up and he became choked up before his team played the Portland Trail Blazers in Game 5 of their first round series. During his pregame availability Wednesday night, Rivers was asked whom he leans on to get through after losing his injured superstars, Blake Griffin and Chris Paul, which completely eliminated their chances of advancing at all. He lost them both in one game, his best players, his superstars. So they asked him, "Who do you lean on to get through after losing your injured players like that?" And Rivers responded, "I don't know." And his eyes filled up with tears. He paused and he put his hand to his face and he said to the media rep who had asked that question, he said, my reaction is not in response to your question. He said, "It made me think of my mother, Betty Rivers. That would have been a person. Otherwise, I don't know who else." And so the 54-year-old coach went on and tried to finish the interview, but he was clearly, visibly moved when he realized that, you know, there's some things that happened to you and everyone else wants to ask a question. And everybody else wants an answer. And everybody else wants a solution. But if there's somebody that I could just confide in, and just let loose and just be consoled by, it's my mom. So it caught him off guard. Doc was right. A mom's comfort and her support is legendary. I mean, I know from firsthand experience. When I was in grade school, we had a play. And some of you have heard this. This is my favorite mother story. When we had a play, it was Jack and the Beanstalk when I was in elementary school. And I got the role of the giant. Don't you dare. Don't you dare. I know what you're thinking. See, the closer you get to the Lord, you begin to know people's thoughts. I was selected to be the giant. It was a puppet show. And my job was to walk these stilt-like things across the puppet stage and chase Jack. Some of the bullies, and I went to a school full of bullies. Saginaw is a place that I'm glad I'm from. One of the bullies came up to me as a representative of the other bullies who were in the class, and he said, "Oh, you're the giant, huh?" And he balled his fist up, and he said, "You're representing our class now," because parents were going to be coming to this thing and everything, you know. And so he said, "You're representing our class, so don't you mess up," you know. Armando Gonzalez, I'll never forget who he was. Can still see him with his little haircut. Some things never leave you. So I had on my white shirt and my little bow tie. That was sort of the uniform that we kind of had to wear since we were in this play. And the time came for me to do my thing and chase Jack across the stage. My mom's sitting in the audience. Other parents are sitting in the audience. Armando Gonzalez is back there doing like this. And I have to step up on this ladder and walk the giant's legs across the puppet stage chasing Jack. I was so nervous. I got up there and I started chasing him, and then one of the legs slipped out of my hands because my hands were so sweaty. So I still had to chase Jack, so I was just hopping after him with one leg. Audience, by this time now, Jack's head fell off too, the puppet, so you could see Terry Bracken's two fingers doing like this. So there's this one leg hopping across and two fingers running across the stage with a body, and the audience is laughing, and Armando Gonzalez is doing this, and I look out and I see my mom, and she's just oblivious to the disaster that is going on before her eyes. Just thoroughly supportive. And that's what moms do. Doesn't matter. You know the old saying, look at all those kids out there, and all of them are out of step except my son. So moms, for all the days you offer consolation and support, we salute you today. And for all the noble mothering intentions in your heart, for all the noble mothering intentions that are in your heart, we salute you and we want to encourage you. And that's why I want you to turn with me to Genesis. And we're going to actually be looking at Genesis 21. But before we get there, let me set it up by explaining what's going on here by the time we get to Genesis 21. In Genesis 18, three mysterious heavenly strangers visit Abraham and Sarah. And they inform them that they're going to have a son. But Abraham and Sarah are old, really old, and they find this pretty incredible. In fact, Sarah laughs about it. She overhears them talking to Abraham, and she laughs about it secretly, thinking that these heavenly visitors, of which one was the Lord, didn't really hear her laugh. But the Lord called her out and said, "Why are you laughing, Sarah? I said you're going to have a child. Why are you laughing?" And it says she lied and said, "I didn't laugh." Me? The Lord called her out and said, "Oh, yeah, you really did laugh. And in a year, you are going to have a son." So prior to this, I mean, and sure enough, she got pregnant and had a son, named him Isaac. Prior to this, because she was getting up in years, Sarah had talked Abraham into impregnating her maidservant, Hagar, so that she could have children through Hagar, she reasoned. Okay, well, I'm not having any babies here, so I'm going to go ahead and, Abraham, you take my maidservant and have a child with her, and that way I can have children. I think it's the first and only biblical surrogate arrangement. That didn't turn out too well either. So Hagar, handmaiden to Sarah, after this whole thing, she got exiled into the wilderness because Sarah saw Hagar's son, who was considerably older now, Ishmael, saw him mocking these festivities that were being held for Isaac. When Isaac was about to be circumcised, Abraham had a big old feast, and Sarah looked out the window and saw that Ishmael was mocking the event. So that ticked her off, and she didn't like that too much. And moms, you know how these things go. Somebody messing with your kids, you don't want, okay, you're going to the desert. I'm not going to just scold you. You are heading to the desert, lady. Your son out there mocking my son, away you go. So she convinced Abraham to send her away. And so in Genesis 21, verses 14 through 20, we read the following. I'd like you to read along with me silently, and I'm going to stop here and there and make a comment. Early the next morning, Abraham took some food and a skin of water and gave them to Hagar. He set them on her shoulders and then sent her off with the boy, with Ishmael. She went on her way and wandered in the desert of Beersheba. Now, this was much more than an eviction notice. This was more than just, get out of my house. This was a desert. No roads, no pavement, no people, no food, no water, no nothing, just wilderness. And here is Hagar and her preteen, 11, 12-year-old son, Ishmael, trying to figure out a way to make it. I think about Kimberly's story when she shared her story with us last week about how she found herself as a single parent, homeless, wandering about, living in abandoned buildings, trying to make it, a desperate situation. Well, here's Hagar, wandering in the wilderness, no place to go, not knowing where she's going. In verse 15, when the water in the skin was gone, she put the boy under one of the bushes. Then she went off and sat down nearby, about a bow shot away, for she thought, I cannot watch the boy die. And as she sat there nearby, she began to sob. I mean, who wouldn't? Imagine the despair. Thirst is one of the most terrible, terrible sufferings that you can have. Imagine not just you, but your child suffering like this, and you are powerless to do anything about it. Who wouldn't sob? So there she was, sobbing. Verse 7, God heard the boy crying, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, what's the matter, Hagar? Do not be afraid. God has heard the boy crying as he lies there. So God hears the cry of our children. He can meet the needs that are beyond our reach. In Hagar's case, it was water. But when you think about it, our kids have all kinds of thirst, don't they? They have all kinds of thirst, spiritual, physical, emotional. God hears their crying too. And then he says in verse 18, lift the boy up and take him by the hand, for I will make him into a great nation. Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. So she went and filled the skin with water and gave the boy a drink. I always love this. It just says God opened her eyes. He'd been leading her all along. Even though she thought she was wandering, she didn't know where she was going, but that divine hand of providence in all of the chaos was somehow guiding her and Ishmael to a place where, when they were at their rope's end, desperate in a spot where there was nothing more they could do, says God just opened her eyes to see that he had been providing all along, and now it's just a time to give it to you. So God showed her what she could do and what she couldn't do and what he could do. And we can trust God to do the same for us. Moms, you guys can trust the Lord to do the same for you. It's great to see this, that the Lord knows where you are at all times. You're never off his radar. I mean, Hagar was there, and the Lord heard the boy crying too. So even though you think you're sort of on your own, and you got to kind of do it on your own, you're not on your own. You haven't been abandoned in the wilderness. Even though it is a wilderness. And in verse 20 it says, God was with the boy as he grew up. He lived in the desert and became an archer. It's difficult, but sometimes, moms, you just have to accept that there are forces outside of your power to meet the need. And that's a hard thing for a mom to accept, isn't it? Because you will try until you don't have fingernails to make that thing happen. You will, by hook or by crook, this is going to happen. Or I'm going to stop this from happening. I am going to fix this problem for my child some way. Even on those occasions when moms get, as my wife and I were talking about the old movie, remember the movie Imitation of Life? And when I was a kid, the pastor made everybody go see that movie. You know, everybody in the church, y'all go take your kids and go see Imitation of Life. It's about a mom who's after her daughter, trying to love her daughter, and her daughter's running away. The daughter doesn't want to be associated with her mom because her mom's black. The daughter's trying to pass for white. And so she's running, and the mom's just trying to love her. And finally the girl says, stop following me. Stop it. Quit. Leave me alone. Go away. Insulted her. And if you come here, I'm going to go there. And if you come there, I'm going to go here. And if you come there, I'm going to... And she said, honey, wait. Mom said, you don't have to worry about it. I'm not coming. I'm tired. And I said, I'm tired. And Laverne said, no, she didn't say I'm tired. She said, I'm tired. See, that's different. Tired, there's some hope. But when you're tired, that's it. Laverne said, there must be, for a person that's not a believer and they make their mom tired, there's a special kind of hell for them, because you have done something really, 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 really bad if mom gets tired. Mom won't get tired easy. She doesn't. She will keep on going. And even in this movie, the woman kept going. She wasn't physically able to do it, but she was still thinking about her daughter on her deathbed. But sometimes you got to get to a point where even with all of your greatest intentions and the noble mothering intentions of your heart, there's only so much you can do. God hears their crying. See, that's what happened here with Ishmael. God heard his crying. And God hears what, God sees what the need is. We don't always see that. We can't. Sometimes their needs are beyond us. And sometimes the only way for us to know that God is in control is for us to be out of control. That's the only way we can know he's in control, right? And as much as we want to be in control, there is something better than being in control. And that's knowing that God is in control. That's the something that's better. When you know that God is in control, that's better than you having control. Because he knows what to do with the control. We don't really know what to do with it. We got it, but we don't know what to do. We think we do. He knows better. I like this quote. The angel of the family is woman, mother, wife, or sister. Woman is the caress of life, the soothing sweetness of affection shed over its toils, a reflection for the individual of the loving providence which watches over humanity. Isn't that wonderful? And so, moms, for this, and so much more, and so much more that I could say. We salute you this morning. I want to, before I have you come up, beyond the circumstance itself of just trying to be the best mom that you can be and trying to care for our kids and just trying to love them, trying to make love manifest in their lives, the attention that we give to that, or that you give to that and that you pray about, there is something higher than being a successful mother. That is a noble pursuit. But there is something more precious to you and to God than being a great mom. And we talked about this last week, remember? Last week we said that the end in view for a job was not making more money or providing for your family or fulfilling yourself, your abilities or reaching your full potential. That there's something higher than that that God has in mind as a purpose related to your job. And so it is with motherhood. We have to be careful to not idolize our kids, because we live in a society that idolizes children. Politicians know that all they need to do is wrap children in an issue, and that issue is going to be lubricated and going to sail into places and cruise into places that it would not get otherwise. Some moms' faith has been shipwrecked because they idolize their children. And when something bad happened, they blamed God and they turned their back on Him. And they decided that He wasn't trustworthy or faithful. It is important for us as believers to not make anything in life, anything, no matter how noble it is, no matter how good it is, no matter how emotionally drawn we are to it, whether it's kids, whether it's a spouse, whether it's a parent, whether it's a job, whether it's our health, no matter what it is. Help us, Jesus, because we need grace, don't we? Because it's unthinkable for us, some of us sitting here, to imagine life without that child or that person or whatever it is. But there is something more noble, and that something that is more noble is the Lord Himself. And the relationship that He desires to have with us in the process of trying to be a good mom. The relationship that He wants to forge with us as we perplex about how to be good moms and good dads and good spouses and good employees. All of that energy, all of that affection, all of that compassion, all of the stuff that is inside of our hearts, He wants primarily to be directed to Him. And that is the best gift that we can give to not only our children, but to anyone who is in our circle of relationships. The very best thing that we can give to them while they're here, and we have no guarantees on how long they're going to be here. The very best, the way to make the most of every day, the way to give the best love you have to give. You know, people say, don't waste time. Make the most of your time. Love them while they're young. All the little phrases that go along with parenting and motherhood. The best way to actuate that is to make your relationship with your Creator, your Savior, your primary objective. So whatever vexes, whatever perplexes, whatever is complicated, whatever is distressing, let that drive us into a more intimate relationship with our Savior. And the people around us, they really make out like thieves then. That's the best blessing we have to offer. And so with that, I'm going to ask the moms now to come up, and I'm going to ask the elders to join me here on stage. I don't see Brother Bill, and I don't see Michael, and I don't see Bobby. I don't see any of the elders. It's going to be a lonely stage. But I'm just going to ask the moms to come up, and we're just going to say a special blessing for you. Come on up, moms. Just come on up and just line the front here. Do you know where Michael is, Bill? Can you? Okay. Is Bobby in Sunday school too? All right. Can you have them come on out? Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you. He's going to use the cordless here. Brother Marlowe. Amen. Here we go. There we are. Okay. Amen. Yes, sir. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we're going to go ahead and we're going to pray. We're just going to say this blessing upon our moms here, and then we're going to dismiss them to the hospitality area where there's a special. But can we do that before the blessing? Well, then you need to come up here and bless them with me. You go on and do the thing that you were gonna do, and then we'll bless them. Okay. All right. Okay, we'll do that. All right. See how organized we are, ladies? We don't need y'all. We can do it ourselves. Okay, well, we're going to just take a few moments and just offer up a blessing. Brother Bill, would you start us, please? And then I'll give you a thing. I'll close this up. We have a corded one here now.
We just thank you for the way that you created moms. And you have honored them. Every person on earth was born from a mother. And almost every person on earth was loved and cared for by mother. Lord, I'm thinking this morning of how in our society and in most cultures, power and strength are worshipped. Women are subjugated. And I'm thinking of how Jesus came in all power, and yet he submitted to the cross. And what an illustration of sacrificial love the love of a mother is. And so I pray that you would redeem the hurt and lavish your celebration on each one of these moms. And that they would know that you smile on them.
Yes.
And you're honored by them. And you celebrate them. And you will welcome them into your kingdom. In Jesus' name.
Father, we thank you so much. We thank you, Lord, for the strength that each one of them has. We thank you so much for their inexhaustible ability to nurture and to love.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, we thank you so much for the times that they've worried and the gray hairs that we've given them. that they take so willingly because of how much they love us. Father, we thank you that they are so great an example of how much you love us. We thank you, Lord, for allowing them to show us how much of a creator that you are, how much of a nurturer, a comforter, a defender, how much of an encourager, how they bear so many burdens that are not their own, just so that we can rise to heights far above what we can imagine. That can only be done by a gracious God given to a very special and unique creature. Thank you, Lord, for the mothers that you've given us, those that are here and those that have gone. Thank you for allowing us to have a strength to have a confidant, a friend. A partner in crime. One that'll beat your butt and then tell you they love you at the same time. I'm so grateful for them. Of all the gifts you've given, thank you for them.
Lord, we just thank you so much for just your creativity in creating moms. Lord, you could have populated human beings any number of ways. You could have grown from seeds. You could have just fallen from trees. You could have done it anyway. Why you chose to do it the way you did, we don't know. But we thank you for the moms that we have who are willing to go through that ordeal to get us here. We thank you, Lord, that their love is such that they do it again. And yeah, that's amazing. But we thank you, Lord, for the special love that you have just demonstrated to mankind through these high-tech miracles called moms. We thank you, Lord, that your love for them inspires them forward. That, Lord, they are your agents on this earth to dispense your love for mankind. We ask that these moms here, Lord, would be blessed in their future endeavors as moms. That, Lord, you give them peace and consolation about their past as moms. Lord, I know that as they reflect on their mothering, that there are joys and sorrows, there are feelings of pride, and perhaps some feelings of shame for not handling things as wisely as they might today. But we thank you, Lord, that you said that you cause all things to work together for the good of those who love you. And I pray that you'd redeem their past in their own minds and hearts so that they're able, Lord, to trust you for their future. We thank you for the blessing that you've given us here. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now, we have spared no expense.